And verse 1 says this, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees," and I'm in Luke, not John, mercy. I was like, that's not what I studied. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you thankful for the connection that we have with you. But, oh, Lord, we pray that it be deeper. Lord, if we ever allow this great fellowship between us and you to wither, if, Lord, we ever become distracted, our relationship with you suffers. And, Lord, I pray that we care very much about that. Help us, Lord, to tear away anything that would distract us. Help us, Lord, to stay attached as a branch does to the vine. Because, Father, you are a source of life. You are a source of forgiveness, our strength, our wisdom. Lord, you are everything. As a branch of a tree gathers nutrients from the trunk, Lord, we know we need you. Help us, Lord, to seek you as sustenance for everything, Lord, for our daily bread. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If we had to sum up the problem that every church member has, every saved person has, every church has, if we were to sum up the problems of this world and we were to solve, I mean, all of them, it all boils down to one thing. Connectivity to God. Well, brother, that sounds very simplistic. It is. Listen, we had this lady at a property, and she didn't own the property. She didn't own the apartment. She just rented. But she'd been there for 20-plus years, and she'd planted trees and gotten permission to do so. And we'd have a company come, and they would take care of bushes and things, but they weren't arborists. They weren't like tree doctors. They were the people you hire to come out and meet. And she didn't like that. She wanted professionals to come in to look at the trees that she planted. So you know what she did? On land that was not hers, in soil that did not belong to her, she not only planted her trees, paid the money to plant the tree, but she paid every year for someone to come and care for that tree. And she'd feed it and water it. And oftentimes the conversation would come up, "Why do you do that?" She goes, "When I look out the window, I want to see it." And she cared for it. Folks, if you chop a branch off of a tree, you don't need a tree doctor to come examine it. It doesn't take that. You look at it, "Well, why is the tree, why are the leaves brown? Why did the fruit rot? How come it stopped growing?" You don't do that. You go, "Oh, it was broken off. That's why." And the same for you. If your body does not eat, does not drink, it begins to eat itself. And then your systems shut down and you die. Nobody's sitting there knowing you have not touched food nor drink for an elongated sense of time is going to sit there and go, "Gee, I wonder what happened. Why is the world the way it is?" Its connection has been severed from God back in the Garden of Eden. That's why things are the way they are. There's no respect for God. There's no knowledge of God. There is no sense of presence of God. It is just man doing what reprobate man does. The problem is that they do not have God. A bigger problem comes when people who have Him apply the same techniques as those that don't have Him. When we try to feed our knowledge, when we try to feed our philosophies, when we try to get our ideas on how the world works from a diseased and broken world, we cannot be surprised when we have issues. We look over, there's some pine trees over there, and they've got that needle rod. I don't know exactly, you guys know the names better than I do? Needle cast, that's the word. Notice how a lot of them have it, almost all of them have it. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Now you sit there going, well, no, dummy, it's not weird. They're together. And they pass it amongst themselves. Huh, so you're saying that when one gets a hold of something that's not going to feed it, not going to make it better, not going to make it stronger, but instead rip it and tear it apart, and it passes from one to the other, every single last one of them has the same reaction? And the answer is, well, yes. You get a cold or flu, I get a cold or flu if we're next to each other. And isn't it weird how I've never gotten a cold or a flu and became more muscly after? I've lost weight, but not in a good way from a flu. You know what I mean? I've never come out, my doctor said, wow, your blood sugar was this before the flu, but look, you've almost completely healed after having the flu. Isn't that fantastic? Never happens. I get sick, you get sick, we all feel miserable, right? The stuff that hurts us always hurts us. And yet for some reason we keep going back and doing the same things and feeding off of the same things and doing the same things. And we go, well, gee, where are all the things that God promised me? Did He not promise me happiness? Did He not promise me joy? Did He not promise me a life more abundant? What is this? When you mix in things that don't belong there, when you mix in things that cause harm, when our supply for our daily bread, our intelligence, our wisdom, our philosophy, all of it, when our supply isn't in God alone, we cannot be surprised when chaos ensues. Many people, that's what they want. They want a little bit of both. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. I am the true vine. I am the part that brings the nutrients to you. I am the source of wisdom. I am the source of knowledge. I am your connection to all things heavenly. It is me who brings these things to you. Now, is that a pride statement? No. That's not him bragging. He's not sitting here going, oh yeah, let me tell you how tough of a big guy I am. What he's saying is this, I am the source of good. Come to me, I have it. Let me give this to you. I am the source. There are other things out there that claim to be the source. And we, oh man, we have so many different ways of coming to conclusions in how the world works. The biggest one we have out there is me. What do I think? What do I think about it? You know, I've read that. I don't like it. So you know what I think? I think I'm going to apply some worldly philosophy. God wants me to be happy. So He's going to be okay if I disregard His word and do something that'll make me feel good for a second. That's not what He says. You know, we tell kids, I like what Brother Mark said this morning, these things that we got to be careful of, they're not just for kids. We tell kids to do what when they cross the street? Look left and right, right? How many of you as grown adults, you don't look left and right because you're not a child anymore? Because I've seen that kind of arrogance. All right, kids, it's very important that we do this. All right, let me show you. I'm a very good adult. Let me show you. And then when we're out on our own, we don't look right back and forth. Why? Because we got no kids. We're grown-ups. We need no requirement for safety. We're going to live forever. And then we get hit by a car. Do you see those statistics? Do you see those statistics come up every now and then? The people who cross the street while staring at their cell phones. Well, how'd they get hit by the car? They were staring at their cell phone. So you're saying that you have entered into a world where vehicles weighing tons are driving around at accelerated speeds, and you're just walking out there and not looking. Okay. That's our thinking. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to because I'm special. I know I'm not supposed to be looking at it while I'm driving the car. But I am, since I am a better driver than anybody else on earth, it's okay for me. You know, you're not supposed to, I'll get up here, I'll preach things. Don't do this in your home. Don't do this in your marriages. Don't do this to your parents. Don't do this to the law. And I preach those things, and many people say, amen, brother, amen. But when we go home, we're the automatic exception. Why? Because I think I can handle it. I think it'll be okay this time. I am smarter than the average bear. Remember Yogi Bear? Some of you guys are like, who's Yogi Bear? You guys remember Yogi Bear? Smarter than the average bear. You know what I noticed that growing up, looking back at those old cartoons? Yogi was not smarter than the average bear. That phrase has long survived the actual TV show. And he was not. Think of the people who are on TV today. All these characters we put on the television. We put them in movies. And everybody goes, oh, that was a great character. I love that movie. You ever stop and pay attention to them? And you go, well, that's terrible. And because they've got some vague morality about them, we go, well, that's good. Now, I always tease on those Hallmark movies. Now, before the Hallmark movies, I used to tease on the Lifetime movies. And after that, it kind of became like making jokes about Joe Biden. It was just too easy. Make jokes about Hallmark movies. Well, I told this man that I loved him very dearly. And I promised him that I would marry him. But also, my business has taken me to a small town in Colorado. And while I'm here in this small town in Colorado, I've met this wonderful man who owns a bakery, knits sweaters for children, and may or may not be Santa Claus. And because he is such a vaguely moral person, and, oh, you know what? Hold on. He's a single father. He's a single father. And because he is so vaguely moral, and we are so desirous to be compassionate, we don't mind that she's going to completely fall in love with him, kiss him, hug him, go ice skating while holding hands with him, share a cup of coffee, like not just having cups of coffee, but sharing a cup of coffee while romantic movies playing, while the man that she swore and promised to love is over here. And that's our morality. I promise to love you, I promise to marry you, but you have a cell phone clipped to your pocket, and that's how I know you're evil. Right? You've got a sweater. You had a nice, not sweater. He wears a sweater. You got a big old suit. That's how I know you're evil. Son, you've got it coming. You promised your boss you would work. You're working. You deserve to get cheated on. This guy, he bakes cookies and he kind of knew her back in high school. We love this. Some of you are sitting there going, man, why has he got a pick on the Hallmark movies? It's like my joke on Lifetime. Again, it's kind of like picking on Joe Biden. It's getting easier and easier. I come up with new jokes about it just as soon as I come up with new plot lines. But the fact of the matter is this. I think, I feel. And then you stop and you go, wait a minute. What'd that guy do? Did she go? She didn't even go back to him and say, hey, listen, I'm having second thoughts. Let me hit a break on this whole engagement thing. Hey, I'm not entirely sure marrying you is a good idea. No, we just dive into Mr. Claus over here. And because the music is right and the snow is falling, our morality is tricked. And folks, people with seared consciences cannot decide right and wrong. Well, who has a seared conscience? All of us. All of us are a little numb in the right, in the wrong area. All of us have a little tolerance for things. I like my coffee hot. I like my food hot. My family, they do not like hot food for some reason. They want to make sure that we have at least 45 minutes from when it's cooked to when we finally get to pray and eat. I have a certain tolerance because I've drunk hot coffee for a very long time now. I have a certain tolerance for heat that my children do not have. And folks, this is the way our conscience gets seared. The more garbage like that you watch, the more rated R stuff you watch, the more comfortable with sin you become. And all of a sudden, so that we can feel nice, kind, and compassionate, we have dined and feasted on the morality of Babylon, and we have a compassion and love towards those people, we lose our ability to decide right and wrong. We say, well, why? Because here's the thing. There's the way that people are described in the media, and then there's the way people really are. You know, if you were to sit there and I were to say, hey, listen, this lady, she ran off. She found some guy over in the small town, left her successful fiance who was building a life and building a home for them both. And they had plans, but she threw them all away. You'd sit there and you'd say, well, that is terrible. But man, when you find out that she likes nutmeg in her coffee and the other guy puts cinnamon in the cookies, what do? We develop a soft heart for that, don't we? When we get around sinners, you know what we do? We love them. Why? Know why? Because you're a sinner. And loving people feels nice. Doesn't it feel nice to love people? At least it should. It should feel nice to love people. That's what happens. The same thing that makes us good Christians makes us terrible at deciding right or wrong, because we immediately try to fall back to compassion, which is fine. It's good to love people. It's good to take a kind eye, but we cannot adopt bad morality. So going back to it, what does the Lord say? I am the vine. Please stop trying to put your roots in the garbage. Please stop trying to put your roots in the toxic sludge. Please stop putting your roots over there. Me. Come to me. I have it for you. And he gives us these things. And what do we do? What do we do once we are properly connected to God? Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What happens is, if you don't bear fruit, we fix you. One way or the other. Either you're removed, or as you're bearing some, we purge so you can bear more. But either way, we tend to you. We make sure you're growing as you should grow. I look after you as your heavenly Father. I look after you. As Jesus Christ, I look after you. The problem is in the connection. We're not called to visit Christ. We are not called to have a passing relationship with Christ. We are called to abide in him. There's a lot of people who are visitors of Christ, saved for decades, still merely visitors. On a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, Sunday afternoon, I'm with Christ. When I read my Bible, when I do get into not just a passing prayer, right? There's our passing prayers. Lord, please bless the food. And they shouldn't be passing prayers. You should acknowledge the fact that it sure would feel miserable to not have any food when we pray to God and thank Him for our food. Right? When we sit there, you know, it's good to be American, man. We had a birthday party this weekend and food, we ran out of food for the first time. And I go, oh no. Now me, I like to feed people. I know I fed people when I've got just a little left extra. I'm saying, we ran out of food. I go, oh no, I got my numbers wrong. I did the math wrong. I got concerned about it. And people over there were visiting. Wanted to make sure that the food was right. As I'm looking over the things, I go, oh no, I must have done something wrong. You know, but as I was looking at it, you know, we've got bags and bags of chips on the table. I can't tell you how many cinnamon rolls my wife made. She made little tiny eclairs too. And then we looked over and we looked at the subs. The subs were big and meaty, the giant things. I'm worried about not having enough party food. That's how blessed we are. You following me on this? That's how blessed we are. That we would not have enough of the simple things. We've got things that aren't necessary. You know, even the poorest of us have much. Oh, how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. Folks, everything we get comes from God. We need to see that. And people come in, they left. They didn't stay. And that's fine. You know, I've had people that come, you know, my mom and dad. I talk to my mom and dad almost every day, one form or the other. Either we're sending messages or phone calls. I talk to my mom and dad. You know, my brother, I don't talk to him as much as I do my mom and dad, but he was there and so many others. Friends, you know, Tim and Kaylee Cavanaugh, don't talk to them much. It's good to have them up. Good to see them. They came in and they left. And we'll have another birthday party in April, and they'll come back, Lord willing. And then what? They'll leave. Many people, that's their relationship with God. I'm here. Oh, isn't it good? Hi, Lord. Oh, good time in the Lord's house today. And we walk that for decades. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How good to be here. And then we pray. Had a good prayer today. Had a good prayer. You know, that was that rabbit I just chased. Did you see it? When we pray, we need to be grateful for what we have. Oh, I didn't have this. I didn't have that. You know what? You had thousands and thousands of calories on the table. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we have enough candy for the gift bags? You've got candy. Thank the Lord. Not only do you have nutrients, but you got garbage on top of it. Praise the Lord. Oh my. I prayed and I feel good. I read and I feel good. And you know what? It's good to do those things. And it's good to feel good when you do those things. The problem comes when after it's all done, we close the book. We walk out of the building. We say amen. And then we're godless. Well, brother, I'm not godless. I'm saved. Does it look like you have a God? Does it look in how you present yourself? Are you out there cussing and fussing? Are you out there shouting? Are you out there giving the gospel? Are you out there being kind? Are you out there speaking the word? Are you standing for the right things? Is that what we're out there doing? Do we look and act as though we are still connected to God? You know, before I came up here for Sunday school, I took my computer, I unplugged it. Right now, it is slowly losing battery. You can't see it, but I'm watching it. Slowly losing battery. You know what's eventually going to happen within the next day? If I don't plug it back in, that battery will die. I'll go to click on it, the little battery signal go beep, beep. And I'm like, oh, I got to plug it back in again. It does all sorts of things when the battery, when it's not plugged in. If I sit there for a while, the screen will start to dim. I've got it on power saver mode. The screen will start to dim. I hate a dim screen. But I put it on there so I can last longer with it. It'll start to do other things. It'll move a little bit slower after a while. Then it'll start beeping at me, giving me warnings, low battery. The audacity. All kinds of problems with it when it's not plugged in. But I never get a dim screen when I keep it plugged in. I never get a low battery warning when I keep it plugged in. You getting the image I'm giving you here? As a Christian, I don't understand why I'm not growing a lot of joy. As a Christian, I don't understand why my fuse is so short. Let's look at the fruit. The fruit that we're supposed to be bearing. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, where's my temperance? Where's my ability to act in small ways? Where's my ability to have things in moderation? Where's my gentleness? Where's my stuff? I'm supposed to have fruit. Where did it go? How come it's not growing? The answer is simple. Branches that are feeding off of things that they shouldn't have, and things that are not completely connected the way they should be, they don't grow right. Broken branches don't grow fruit. Diseased branches don't grow fruit. When we shut the door on God, just because we've said amen or we've left the building, and all of a sudden we are consuming ungodly things, where we put violence in front of us and sexuality in front of us, and we put terrible, sinful things in front of us, it should not surprise us that we are acting as though we've lost our connection with God. You've hung up the phone. We've got no right to hang up the phone on God. Folks, when you get up in the morning, God is present. When you do good deeds, God is present. When you do bad ones, God is there. We are never outside of His vision. As he says there, it's not just a matter of us abiding in him, but it says there, abide in me and I in you. For as obnoxious as we can be, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. There's only one person God has ever turned his eyes away from, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was our fault. He's never turned his eyes from you. Why? For the same reason when your kids do dangerous stuff, you never turned your eyes from them. Because he loves you. He wants to see what you're doing. And he wants to protect you. He abides in you. He doesn't walk away from you. So why would we sit there and say, well, Lord, I'm thankful for the things that you give me. I'll be back if I bump my knee or somebody's in the hospital. But other than that, I'm going to be about my day. I told you guys, I love doing snow. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love it. Stayed up late last night just watching the snow on the radar going, all right, this is how much I think we're going to have. Got up early this morning. Had my clothes all set out, threw them on. I was out that door. Came in here and I just started shoveling this morning. And while I'm shoveling, I can't help but sing a little song. I told people, you know, at the party, you know, I was talking about, you know, and when I was working for the apartments, it would be nothing for me to get up 3 o'clock in the morning, drive to whatever site needed me, and start shoveling snow or using a snowblower or something like that. And I did that for money. And I was cold and I was miserable, but I did love doing the snow. It's fun for me to be able to come and do that for my God. It's fun for me. and I get to singing. How about driving down the road? What do we do when we're driving down the road? Is there any acknowledgement of God being there? Is there any joy? Is there any song singing? Is there any praying? Is there any rumination on the scriptures? Or are we like, hey, this radio station's coming in. I like being on this side of the town. I can get this radio station. Where is the daily acknowledgement of God's presence? Where is the worship? We need to realize that that is a huge part of why we struggle in worship, is because we keep taking off the Christian and putting on the Christian. You ever consider that? I'm not trying to get hyper spiritual here. I like using illustrations that I think people could understand, but I know this one's a bit of a stretch. Do you remember that TV show, The Flintstones? This is a trope that a lot of TV shows have done, where the man has to be in two different places at once, and he's got to wear a suit for his wife, and he's got to wear his bowling outfit for his team, and he goes back and forth between the two, just trying to make it work. You see that a lot, because it's funny. And so often, that's why we struggle to worship, because we need to put on the world for the world, and we need to put on God for God. So we come to church and we get our church clothes on and we get our church attitude on and we get our church mindset on and we go, aren't we having a good time here in church today? And then as soon as the pastor says amen, we don't take it all off. Maybe we'll just watch the ball game. No rated R movies on a Sunday. Come Monday morning though, we're back in the dirt. And then we come in on Wednesday and we go, man, it's hard to come in on a Wednesday. Of course it is. You got to wash all that dirt off you before you come in. You got to sit here and hear me talk about sin for the 1,000,000th time like you ain't covered in it. Of course you're having a hard time worshiping, because the process is more painful for you than it would be if you stayed in the Lord. And what eventually happens? In every TV show, Fred Flintstone shows up in his bowling outfit in front of his wife. And she loses it. Can't remember exactly how it ends, but I'm pretty sure she hits him with a brontosaurus something or other. We show up in our worldly clothes in the church. And it's harder and harder to take off the world and put on God. So we come in and we're frustrated because the kids didn't behave. We come in and we're groggy because we stayed up half the night having a movie marathon or arguing with our spouse or doing things we really had no business doing. And we walk into the church services groggy, tired, and filled with sin. And that pastor, he goes too long, he's too loud, and he is all in my business. Of course we're not worshiping. But if we stayed, if we abided in Christ, we would come in more prepared. How much better could a Christian life be built if you didn't have to spend so much time fixing things? If we are always reacting to the damage our sin is causing, of course you can't grow. You're stuck in maintenance mode. You're stuck in repair mode, which is even worse. Because, right, there's churches fall into a maintenance mode. Right? Well, we need new blinds. All in favor of new blinds? Any opposed? There's none. Amen. Do we need to do this? Do we need no. We just keep going. Let's keep things going the way they are. Okay? And then the other part is repair mode. That is when damage has taken place because you spent too long in maintenance mode. And now sin has gotten in. And now we got to fix the sin. We got disciplinary problems. We got people acting the way they shouldn't. We got fights and arguments. Things not going the way that they should be going. People leaving the church left and right because who wants to go to a place where people are just sour to each other? So now we got to repair. We repair, we get into maintenance. Once we get into maintenance, then we can build. And that is why, that is many people's lives. They put the spiritual things secondary. And they feed the pleasure center of the brain with any garbage they can find. And then we wonder why our connection with God isn't the way that it should be. It's no wonder. Looking back at our text here, verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What he's referring to there is salvation. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. As a human being, you can get rich without God. People do it every day. As a human being, you can get married, you can have kids, you can have all the things this world has to offer without him. Absolutely. But you will never have real success. You will never have the fruit of the Spirit. You will never be able to do anything for God if you're not abiding in him. Salvation is a must. And after that, you must abide. You cannot grow these things without God. Well, what do you mean? Well, what do you mean I can't grow these things? Well, here's the thing. Do you know a lot of people who are just love incarnate? I know some, but I don't know a lot. Do you know a lot of people who have peace? I mean, I know some people, they are as calm as a pond. Man, they're just smooth people. But not a lot. What about long-suffering people? People with large fuses, gentle people, good people, faithful people, meek people, temperate people. I know individuals that can be. I know individuals who are good at it. But without God, you cannot grow the whole crop. And if you are here this morning and you are looking at this list and you say, brother, I'm experiencing crop failure, a better connection with God is going to be your answer. There is something between you and God, and all that needs to take place is for that either that thing to be removed or the connection to be made better. And it will grow. There are far too many people, I believe, in this world that sit there and say, well, I just can't have peace. God will give me everything, but he can't give me peace. There's nothing broken in you God can't fix. I'm tired of people walking around like they're broken fields. I'm a special case. God can fix everybody but me. That's not the God I serve. Jesus Christ himself saw a man laying by a pool who's looking at it going, I gotta get in there, but there's no way for it to happen. So he sat day in and day out looking at the one thing that could fix his broken life, knowing he can't have it. But those who have Jesus, what did Jesus do? I need that. Here, let me fix you. Isn't that what he did? From our carnal mindset, I am broken. Nothing can be done with me. From God's mindset, I fix that. I can fix that. Well, you have to understand, there are some things, you know, it's in my brain. Can God fix your pancreas? Can God fix cancer? We've seen God can even fix death. Your brain's so complicated, God can't do anything about it? Your brain's the one off-limits thing God can't fix. Man, people say, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, my brain chemistry is off, this, that, or the other. You know what I do? I pray God heals them. What? Yeah, I pray God heals them. Well, isn't it all in their head? That's where my brain is. It's all in my head. All of my brain's in my head. Doctor checked twice. Now, my mom thinks I left it on a bus by the way she talks, but pray for him. What if I got it? Pray for you. Lord, take it away. And what would he do? Yes, no, or wait. One of those three. You'll always get an answer. It's going to be one of those three. Yes, no, or wait. But we don't deal without hope. We don't. You cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit without a deep, close connection with God. You could be a saved person without a close connection with God. Salvation might be your only connection to God. But we need more. We need daily conversations, regular conversations. Not because they are habit, not because they are ritual. You know, I've told you this. At the end of a Wednesday night service, that's when I call my mom. As we're walking out the door, I'll pick up that phone, I'll call my mom. You know why I call my mom? I don't call my mom because it's Wednesday. I don't call my mom because it's nighttime. I don't call my mom because I'm afraid she's going to yell at me if I don't. She will, but that's not what I'm afraid of. I call her because I love her and I want to talk to her. If I had to call her, if it was only about ritual, if it was only about satisfying my schedule, it would be a drudgery. It's just the way my mind works. If I'm ever doing something, not because I want to do it, but because it needs to be done, it ceases to be a good time and it becomes boring. You do it, I do it, we all do it. Here, just doing this. But when we have an actual relationship with God, we long to speak to Him. When our emotions get up, we don't bury them, we don't ignore them. We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, you see this? I'm getting that way where I'm going to have to come to you and say, I'm sorry soon. Lord, help me. You know, there's some people you can't talk to them about your feelings. I understand that. My God has never made me feel bad for how I felt. He has chided me. I have felt corrected and chastened in things that I've wanted to do, but I've always felt help. You know what I get in trouble? When I don't take it to Him, when I'm not used to talking to Him, when I hide it from Him like an errant child. When I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm sad. You know what? I'll even say this. You know, I always say anger, but I think for me at least, I'll just be honest with you. You know what I go to the Lord with? What feeling I go to the Lord with the most? Feeling defeated or useless. That's what I take to Him. It feeds into a darker part. It feeds into a misery, a depression kind of part of us. When we sit there and we always feel like we're not good enough. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it before. I don't have confidence in doing it. Oh, Lord. Or even when we are doing things, we know how to do it. We understand how to do it. And then something along the way happens and we begin to question everything we know about ourselves. And we sit there and we say, Lord, I don't think I'm being effective. Lord, I don't think I'm doing this right. Lord, I need your help. If we go to Him, He helps that. But if we take that somewhere else and we cease to abide in Him in those things, well, you've taken the chaos in yourself. And the branch will not bear fruit. And that is when we sit there and we say, well, what happens? What happens if the connection is not strong? There's room for things to come in. There's room for corruption. There's room for disease. And in the Christian life, that disease is sin. It is not just that we fail to grow fruit that we need to be concerned about. It is what else could grow instead. Consider the carbon opposite, not the carbon copy, I meant carbon copy and opposite at the same time, but consider the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Now you look at Galatians 5:22. Follow along with me. I'm going to say the opposite. Fruit of the Spirit is love, but without a connection to God, hate. Well, Christians aren't hateful. Hold on now. Let me introduce you to a few. I hate this and I hate that. Hold on. What is he saying? Oh, okay, that almost sounded like something I hate. Oh, and what's going on over here? I hate this and I hate that and I hate this person. People come in, they got tattoos on her. I hate that person. Oh, you say, I hate that. That was my Yosemite Sam impression. I hope you're impressed. That's what it is. I hate. Well, mercy. Listen, God hates sin. We all hate sin. Not just what it does to other people, what it does to us. Man, I hate sin just like any slave hates the man, the master that enslaved him. And that's what sin is. We are slaves to sin. I hate it. But to walk around this earth hating people. When churches get to hating each other. We talked about that at the party yesterday. Different groups of churches get to fighting. Well, I don't like that, brother. We're independent Baptist churches. And they get to fighting and grappling with each other and hating on each other. And then what happens? Well, fine, you're an independent Baptist, but I'm a solo all by myself Baptist. What was that? You're a grace Baptist? Well, I'm a sovereign grace Baptist. I got one pastor really mad at me. He said, well, then we got this. And he was trying to explain the whole ordeal to me. I go, brother, it just kind of sounds like pronouns for Christian folk. I go, we got to knock that off. It's either Bible or it's not. We got to quit naming everything that has a shadow. Just knock it off. But oh, hatred. What about the next one? Depression. Instead of joy, you have depression. Man, take a look at some churches today. How on earth, having a free Sunday morning, could we be so bummed? How, knowing what the words say and their value and what it is that God has done for us that we're singing about, could we be so glum, so grumpy? Instead of peace, we have agitation. Instead of long-suffering, we've got ourselves a short fuse. Instead of gentleness, aggression. Instead of good, there's evil. Instead of faith, there's doubt. Meekness is replaced by pride, and temperance is taken over by gluttony. And yes, I preach on my sins too. Without a proper connection, we will fill our lives with anything that can be found. We must check to make sure there is no sin standing between us and God. We must make sure that our prayer life is not one of habit or ritual, but one of a child that seeks the face and presence and time of the Father. And that connection must not be a hard goodbye or we'll see you around, but one where we know that at any given second, we can open our hearts to God in worship, in conversation. So the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And you scratch your head, well, how can I pray without ceasing? And the answer is simple. Never leave His presence. Well, brother, that's ridiculous. We can never leave His presence. Exactly. We don't leave His presence. We just pretend He's not there for a second. We don't leave His presence. We just ignore Him. We shut the door. Right? Jesus has this little spot in our heart. Come on in, Lord. Oh, so glad to have you in my heart today. And that's the very modern view of salvation. You invite Jesus into your heart and He's out there just pawing at it. Let me in. Let me in. I need you so bad. You open the Lord. Come on in, Lord. And Lord comes in and you're happy with Him and we're celebrating and here's my baptism and we're going to have a little lunch after my baptism. Oh, life is wonderful. And then church is over Monday morning. Get in there. Get in there. And I know that the connection is as easy as this, and I don't want to break that, but we know the connection is easy. We know we can get to Him. But we put that door up, and I can say what I want, watch what I want, listen to what I want, do what I want. And then when I feel really bad about it, I'll open that door up again and say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. You know, and we feel good. We're in the presence of the Lord. Things are wonderful. And then what's that? Lunch out with the guys? All right. Dirty jokes. Here we come. Is that not our lives? And then we open and close that door so often, and we come in on a time for us to serve and worship, and we're like, I can't get in that thing. Well, where's the Lord when this is going on? Where's the Lord when that's going on? I don't know. Where'd you walk away from Him? Where was He when you walked away? Because He's still there. We need to stop our dichotomous way of living. We talked about this a lot on Friday. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So, of course, no fruit is growing. There's no stability. Of course, there's rot and disease and things that you don't like going on in your life. The connection's not there. A life without the fruit of the Spirit is hard. The relationships sour. We see no results from the work that we do for the Lord. Worship is hard and nigh on impossible. Why is worship such a far grasp for us in the modern world today? It's because we've got far too much going on the other side. The only thing straddling the fence has ever gotten me is ripped pants. It is painful to live a life where we are trying to satisfy the flesh and satisfy the spirit. You can't do that. The distraction is too big, and we end up serving one master and neglecting the other. We need to serve the true master. We need to go back to the vine. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. What's going on with my prayer life? What's going on with these things that I'm asking God for? Listen, I can't tell you that if you obey, it's going to force God to bless you. But I will tell you this, when I'm in obedience to God, there's a lot more blessing and provision than when I'm in disobedience. I'm not going to sit there and say that you could force God. I just know that He's a lot more liberal with His gifts when I'm close to Him. Doesn't that make sense? Man, I got some kids, they're growing up, they don't need their dad as much. But while they're in the house, if we go out somewhere to eat, I bring them all, right? Too young to leave at home. There's going to come a time where it happened in my house. I got out, I could drive a car. And I'd go out and I'd drive, and then mom and dad would decide what they were going to do for dinner. They were going to go out to eat. They took my brother, they didn't invite me. Can you believe that? You're sitting there saying, yeah, you weren't home. And you know what? That's what they said. You weren't home. How are we supposed to have God's blessings if we keep walking away from Him? How are we supposed to stay close to Him? How are we supposed to get to know Him if we don't talk to Him? I'm not talking about the please bless the food, we're so grateful for it, in Jesus' name, amen prayers. I'm talking about the long ones. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't pray for very long. Then read. I have a hard time talking to people who don't talk to me, don't you? I go where I go to talk to them. How's it going today? Good. Oh, man, what do you think about all this snow outside? Eh, it's all right. Well, you ever go sledding? That kills the conversation, doesn't it? So that's what I tell them. I have a hard time praying. So read the Bible while you're praying. Let Him have a word in edgewise. And you know what you'll find? Conversation. Well, what about when I just need to read? Man, I have seldom just read. There's so many times where I'm reading something and I'll say, Lord, I'm falling asleep, help me. Lord, why'd that happen? Well, Lord, why'd that happen? You get a couple chapters down, oh, Lord. I'm guilty of that. Oh, Lord, remember when that used to be a problem in my life? That very thing. you know, Pastor so-and-so, they came over for the Bible conference, and they preached on that, and you shattered me over that. I am so glad that's not in my life anymore. Hey, you know that thing I was just crying over? Could you make that happen there? And you see people suffering in the Bible, and you go, I've been there. Or, I'm going through that now. Lord, that thing that's happening to them, that thing you did there, could you do that in my life, please? I would love that. Of course, your will trumps everything, but would you do that for me? We need a regular conversation with the Lord. We need the clean spirit. And then what happens? The fruit is growing. The worship is flowing. And those that see us, like that song that we just sang, those that see us, they can tell they see him in us. And they want some too. And the world is changed by the fruit that we bring into it. Now, will it save people? No. But don't you miss living in a Christian society? Not a pseudo-Christian society where we've got the opposite of those, but we go to church so we're good. I want to live in a society where there's more fruit like that around. I'll close with this. Once I get out the snowblower, I like to take it for a walk. Don't you? Anybody who's got a power tool or a toy like that at home, you just like to play with it. I know I do. And I look over, and people next door didn't do theirs, so up and down. And she comes out, and she goes, oh, my son was going to come and do this, and blah. You didn't have to do that, because I know. I go, I just don't want to live in a world where people don't do this for each other. It's kind of my opinion. You stop off, help someone change a tire. I don't want to live in a world where that don't happen. You go to say sorry to somebody, and they're entirely gracious and merciful about it, and they're understanding. I love living in a world. That's wonderful. But in order for us to live in a world with the fruit of the Spirit, we got to make sure we're all growing the fruit of the Spirit, something that cannot be done if we've got an intermittent connection with God. It needs to be strong, wrapped in prayer, bound by the pages of the Bible, and just filled with love for Him, with the understanding that He will never leave us. We never escape His view. So why then would we keep turning from Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I say so often we need You. But Father, today I want to say how grateful we are that You're there. How grateful, Father, we are that You never leave us, never forsake us. And Lord, You promise to be with us until the end. Lord, made it possible for us to spend eternity in heaven after that. Lord, I pray this, that as we say amen, it's not the loss of our connection with You until we call You again, but that, Father, the lines stay open, that, Lord, we always seek Your face in everything we do. Father, I believe that when we can shun the distraction of carnal things and, Lord, stay grounded and rooted in You, Lord, that's how we can have good, successful Christian lives. That's how we can grow the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray that You help each and every last one of us here, whether our need is salvation or, Lord, a better connection. I just pray, Father, You draw us in close. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.